This week on Chicago Beer Pass, it's just Nick and I in the studio. We're drinking some Forbidden Root beers and talking about our past couple weeks of drinking. All that more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And it's just us this week. No special guest, no one else in the studio.
Yeah, we had a good chat last week with John from, I keep wanting to call him Atlas.
Burnt City.
But they're Burnt City.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I like how he goes, you know, what do we name this beer? We name it Dick the Butcher. Like, why? Oh, because that's the Shakespeare lawyer that wanted, no, that's a Shakespeare guy who wanted to kill all the lawyers in a right. Shakespeare tale. That was pretty funny.
No, yeah, I think so. If you missed that episode, go back and listen to it because we really just talk about them.
Like, yeah.
And why they changed their name and what they're doing moving forward.
Yeah, two local brothers from High Park that, you know, that used to homebrew. They ran into a guy that apparently is bros with like Randy Mosier and the other guy.
The other guy.
No, the guy from Cicerone, Ray Daniels.
Yes.
Yeah. So, which are, you know, really two heavyweights in Chicago. So, this guy happens to know those guys. Then they find the Salar guys and they start a brewery next to a bowling alley. It's a pretty cool story.
No, yeah. It was awesome. Yeah, so.
The other guy. Jeez. The other guy. Everybody next to Randy Mosier, everybody's the other guy.
Okay. Fair enough. So, we're not drinking any Burnt City this time, but we do have some Forbidden Root beer.
Yeah.
I went bomber this week.
Yeah, man. Speaking of Randy Mosier, you know, he's on the Forbidden Root Project. So this is the Cherry Tree Amaru. It's a 9% cherry ale with spices and citrus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It looked interesting, and I'm not one. The six-pack Forbidden Root beers are ones I've all had. I've had them all.
Yeah, because they've been brewing those for a while. They were brewing them down at Five Rabbit.
Right, so to see something a little different, I was like, oh, I got to try this, and... Also, my fridge is getting leftovers of like two beers from all of our like six packs we end up that we're just, it's kind of stacking up. So the bomber's one and done kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I like how they were telling me the one time I've been to Forbidden Root that they actually, they tried the cherry husk, you know, they tried the cherry fruit and then it was the cherry stem flavor that they enjoyed more than those two.
Okay.
So that's what's showcased in the Cherry Tree Amaru. Yeah. And I guess Amaro sounds like it's a family of bitter liqueurs that they named it after. So
I was worried it was going to taste a little cough syrup like.
Yeah, like a little medicinal, right?
But it doesn't. Yeah.
No. It's a straightforward cherry flavor through, like the nose, the body.
It smells more cough syrupy than it tastes.
Mm.
But yeah, I kind of dig it. It's 9% though.
That's a serious beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And hides it just because it is so sweet and just like thick of a beer.
Yeah. And it finishes with that, you know, that earthy kind of bark or like stem tree. What am I saying? Yeah. It's not as sweet as you would think for a cherry beer.
Right.
Yeah. It's got some earthiness to it.
And then on deck, you had some Bader Brau beers because you were over there.
Yeah, swung by Bader Brau. Oktoberfest season is here already, man. I'm getting sad. So last week, we sampled Burnt City's Oktoberfest.
Yeah,
and Bader Brau's Oktoberfest is also in cans, too. That Oktoberfest took Best in Show at the Lyle Ale Fest 2 years in a row.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right, so we may dive into those, too, here in a little bit. But... We have a couple weeks of stuff to talk about that we made it to, right?
Well, we do actually. Yeah, we had the guest on last week. We kind of spotlighted Burnt City instead of just getting into what we got into.
Yeah, so you were in Bourbon Country. I think we dabbled or touched on that a little bit on the episode.
Yeah, a little bit. It was you know, they give you the passport and they talk about the Bourbon Trail, and you know we're all kind of into bourbon because we're taking Chicago so close to, you know, Bourbon Country that, you know, we got access to barrels in a way that other cities don't, right? Yeah, and a good example of that would be Heaven Hill, where Goose Island Rare happened last year. So on display, when you get to Heaven Hill, they've got a barrel. The barrel that they gave them, Goose sent it back and has like a commemorative stamp on it.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, they were saying that the guy, I guess Elijah Craig, which is a Heaven Hill product, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he was just, you know, he had an old fish barrel, and he wanted to get the fish smell out because he wanted to put some booze in it and then travel to like Philly or something from Kentucky, and then so he you know, he burned it. He charcoaled his.
And that's kind
of
how it.
And that's how whiskey became. That was the beginnings of whiskey. Mm-hmm. Another cool story that the Buffalo Trace guys were telling me was that Thomas Jefferson was trying to get people into, because there was a serious chance that I think, and you know, my history is not the best, but I think somebody was going to revolt against America. I think it was France, you know, and there were a lot of Americans that wouldn't populate this like central Kentucky, right? Because it wasn't much water source or anything like that. So Thomas Jefferson.
Because it's Kentucky.
And because they're like, well, I don't live in Kentucky, you know? You know, I got to cross the Appalachian Mountains. What is this shit? I don't want to stay here. You know, even the Indians, you know, they come, but they'd leave. So it was just this open land, Kentucky, okay. Right? So he said, hey, man, if anybody moves to this area in Kentucky, I will give you like 30 acres of land, right? No, maybe three. Let's say three, right?
That was probably 30.
It was probably 30, yeah. Right?
Three is not that much back in the day. Yeah. Three's a lot now.
Yeah. So I'll give you 30 acres of land if you move here. And the only deal, the only rules are that you have to grow, you know, you have to grow corn. You know, you have to bring back X bushels of corn. You know, and in exchange for the property. So a lot of people moved there, right?
Right.
But then they got tired of carrying all this corn back over the mountains, right? So this is at the Buffalo Trace Distillery, they're saying this. So instead of carrying all this corn back, they made corn liquor.
Okay.
And took the corn liquor back. And Thomas Jefferson was like, all right, yeah, that's cool. We'll roll with that.
He's like, I get whatever you guys did. You guys a little more work that you guys right. put into this, so we'll take it.
Yeah, so they're saying, like, you know, between Elijah Craig doing his thing and then the guys making corn liquor, this is where the, you know, the enthusiast part of, you know, making booze in Kentucky began. That's where its beginnings.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was cool, man. Yeah, went to like six distilleries. Mm. Yeah, Maker's Mark was probably the best looking one. That's actually a really cool tour.
Okay, what was your favorite drinking one?
Probably Four Roses.
Okay.
I love Four Roses, man. That's my house bourbon for sure. So they were saying how, man, I get really excited about this bourbon trail thing. They were saying how, like, if you've got trees near a distillery where you're making booze, the bark to the trees is always going to be black because there's distillate in the air, and distillate sticks to the trees. And that's how they found bootleggers. So you go in the forest, and all you got to do is look for the trees with the black.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
And then boom, you know, it's like somebody's making booze here. You know, the bark is all black. So
and they move some bushes that like the fake bush that's hiding the still.
Right. The one interesting part about East Distillery was that, you know, Heaven Hill's like, no, we don't sell barrels to the public. You know, and then I think Wild Turkey said, no, we have an agreement with Scotland or whatever. You know, because most barrels go to make scotch after they're done, right?
Okay.
But then places like Four Roses were like, hey, man, you can come get 5 barrels a day if you want. And if your wife is with you, she can get 5 barrels a day, too.
Whoa.
So the policy on how they give out old barrels, and you know, barrels have a little booze in them still. So
you could just pick up your 5 barrels and squeeze it out and get some free.
Man, it's only a 4-hour drive. Or, you know, if you're like a home brewer, you know, go down there, grab some barrels and do your thing.
I'm sure you have to pay for the barrels.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's like $80 a barrel. Mm-hmm.
Nice. So, let's see. What did I make it over the last couple of weeks? I went to that Deschutes Street Pub.
Oh, the one in Logan where they take over the block.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that turned into basically it's just your normal neighborhood street fest. Just Deschutes is the main beer there. It's a really cool concept. I think it's smart. I bet someone like Goose Island or Rev or somebody else large picks up a similar idea and does it because it's almost like the beer circus.
Yeah.
Or like the
312.
No, or the what's the Fat Tire one?
Oh yeah, the Tour de Fat.
Tour de Fat.
Yeah.
Same kind of similar idea that we're just showing our beer, hang out in the street, drink.
Yeah, just summertime fun. Come party with us. It is when you think about it. It is kind of surprising where you know, Revolution is their home is in Logan. And then, but yeah, two of the bigger breweries in the country, you know, these guys, the Deschutes, and then the New Belgium guys, they set up block parties in the same neighborhood. It's interesting.
But it was a neat thing. It was one day, we have so many street festivals. It was just kind of the same thing, just a little bit of a different take.
Yeah.
But
Their arsenals there, the Abyss, Fresh Squeezed.
Yeah, they had like a rare line or like a limited release line, and then like so there was so many. It was all about the beer, so there was so many like stations to get beer.
Yeah, I like when they throw a party, and then they got that Woody, that the big traveling thingy.
Yeah, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it's got the taps on it. It's like a really big, like a big barrel, basically. Yeah, it looks like the barrel run.
That wasn't even out there that I saw. Uh-huh. So it was kind of surprising. But a lot of people there, and then you realize how, like, busy that street is because it was right after the start of the entrance of the Logan Square stop. And okay. Then kind of went almost all the way to Hopewell.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's just a busy block now. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's happening over there in Logan Square, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also made it over to stop at Cobra Lounge today for lunch.
Yeah.
Hit that up. Always good. They changed that orange wit recipe.
Really? Like better or worse? Because it was like super orange. It had a lot of orange in
it. Yeah, and it was like 4%.
Uh-huh.
Now it's 7%. It's called 3 Orange Wit.
Nice.
So I don't know if they had to change the name because just there's another beer called Orange Wit or what.
Yeah.
Hmm. And then also stopped by Exit Strategy the other day.
Oh, out in like the West Burbs.
Oak Park.
Yeah. How was Exit Strategy?
It's really nice in there. When you go in there, it kind of looks like a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Like it has that vibe. It doesn't feel like a brewery at first. Lots of light, lots of open space. So it was cool. They had, I'd say like about 15 beers on tap.
Damn, I think the guy has a really cool logo because it's like Exit Strategy is all about him leaving his job. So the logo's like a trash can, like Oscar the Grouch style trash can with like a suitcase in it.
Uh-huh.
It was a cool picture you posted.
Yeah, so it's a pretty neat logo. I didn't see any hats. I'm all about those brewery hats. I didn't see a hat
there.
You
do gravitate towards the hats.
So I was looking for that. So Exit Strategy, get on the hats because I would have got one. I had like 3 or 4 little sampler taster beers, so mm-hmm. And they do food there, so yeah, and it's not that far from the city either.
No, it almost borders the city to the west, yeah,
because mm-hmm, you got a Forest Park, or not Forest Park,
you got Oak Park, you got the city, then you got Oak Park,
yeah,
and then it's like right after that,
yeah,
right?
Oh, they're in Forest Park,
yeah.
I said Oak Park, so it's Oak Park, then Forest Park, and that's where Extra Strategy is,
yeah. I like the idea of like, because, you know, like Sunday, I took a road trip to like Indiana, you know, just typical stuff. I went to 3 Floyds. I ended up at,
18th Street?
Not 18th Street. This was in Maryville or Hobart, Illinois, or Hobart, Indiana. It's a place called the Devil's Trumpet, you know. And, you know, on the brew bus, every time someone's in from out of town, I ask them, you know, what brews do you hit when you're back home?
Mm-hmm.
So I keep a list of them. And Indiana's obviously got the most in it because most folks are from there. And yeah, it's cool how you can like, be in this, you can live in the city and then like take this excursion to a completely different time and space, right? You know, like going to the West Burbs or going out to Indiana. And there's a lot of cool breweries.
Mm-hmm.
And in just about any direction you go outside the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I liked about Extra Strategy is it's like right off the expressway and it was busy that day. I think we were coming back in because the air show was going on. So it was kind of, all right, let's just get off and go over here for a little bit and kind of wait things out.
Yeah.
And then we just took Madison, like, all the way into the city.
Just cruised it.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Yeah. So that was pretty much my last couple of weeks. So just trying to hit up some new spots and revisit some old favorites.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Should we jump into this coming week? I know we're probably mentioning this at the end of the show, but we're going to be gone for a couple of weeks. I will be out of town.
Yeah, you got some super important beer traveling to do there, bud.
Well, doing a little vacation.
Yeah.
We'll be in Denver, then on my way to Portland, and then we will come back to Chicago. So
that's going
to
be a good time, man.
Be like about almost 2 weeks, so be a little time away from the show.
Yeah.
But lots of updates on Facebook, I'm sure.
Yeah.
As well, so follow us there. But no podcast to be had. Sad. Have to drop a tears, cry. We're sorry. Sorry.
Or drink.
Drink. Just drink your way through it. We'll be back after that. So we'll be back in the, beginning of September?
Sounds good.
All right. So then this coming week and I guess into next week, even if anything pops up, what do we got on the calendar?
Yeah. We've got, let's start with this weekend. The Catalina Wine Mixer is happening over at Local Option.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, this is the shred contest, right? Like where they do like an actual guitar contest, and then the winner like gets like a Gibson guitar.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what this is. Yeah, that's Friday, the 26th. That starts at noon.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Also, this weekend on Saturday, Five Rabbits throwing a fruit beer festival.
A fruit beer festival.
It's like five.
They're paletas?
Yeah, like paletas. And then they've got like 10 or 12 guests. I think Good Beer Honey's helping them put this on. It's a 12 p.m. on Saturday afternoon festival called Summer Crushes. That's so cute.
That is pretty good.
I do like that name. Yeah. Yeah, like maybe like 10 breweries, you know, Pipeworks, Half Acre, Netro, you know, Lake Effect's bringing Cherise de Michigan. That's the cherry ale that took second place at FOBAB last year.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like Asian white wine barrels. Yeah. Right. So that ought to be a good time.
Man, are you going to try to make it to that?
I'd like to go to that.
I think we leave Saturday at like 5 a.m., so I will not be there.
Yeah, you're going to be gone.
That's fine. I've only had, I think, two, maybe three at the Paletas flavors. Because there was that, I think we even talked about it when we first, early on in the podcast, it was going to be every month.
It would be a different one. I've only seen like the guava.
There's guava, and I think there's a pomegranate.
Yeah, I've only seen like two or three of them.
Yeah, and there's a mango, I think. Yeah. Maybe it's the other one.
Yeah.
What happened?
I do like fruit beers.
What happened to that?
I don't know, man. Yeah, you know, Floyd's had a fruit beer. Well, it was coffee fruit. They had, it was a Brett IPA with coffee fruit in it.
Okay.
Which was kind of interesting. I don't really know what coffee fruit is supposed to taste like versus like coffee beans.
Well, a coffee bean is inside the fruit.
Yeah. So what does this mean? Like pre like fermentation of the bean kind of?
Well, before you dry the bean out.
Oh, it's like, it almost looks like a cherry or something sitting on like a bush or something. Mm-hmm. So it's that.
So the bean's the seed.
Okay.
Of this fruit.
Of the fruit.
Yeah.
The bean's surrounded by flesh.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Cool. I asked my server that and he's like, yeah, man, it's some kind of coffee thing.
Oh, so I don't know if the fruit has even much coffee flavor. Or if it's more like a cherry.
Yeah, so I didn't really understand.
I've never had them.
I've never had it either.
Hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, fruit. We're talking about fruit.
Fruit,
so.
Yeah. We're drinking fruit, too. We're drinking cherries. All right. So check that out Saturday at Five Rabbit. I still have not made it to their brewery. Is it a brew pub?
They have a tap room now.
Okay.
Called like the Rabbit Hole. But yeah, it's a huge production facility, you know, and it's just south of the city near Midway Airport. So that's Bedford Park. I've only been once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, check that out. So Saturday, anything else on Saturday? Or?
No, that's all I got for this week, actually.
Whoa. Yeah. What? Why? I feel like everything was happening in September and like into Halloween. Like Halloween stuff was already popping up.
Yeah.
You're talking Oktoberfest. Those events, like everyone wants to party for Oktoberfest.
Is summer really over, man?
This is it. This is the dog days of summer, right?
Yeah. You've got two big fests in September, the Ballpark Ale Fest in Joliet. We'll probably talk about that when we get back. And then Kurt Foreman's Great Lakes Brew Fest, which is up in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm, at
the zoo. So you got that coming up as well.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then Beer Hoptacular's back, which is good.
Yeah, that's in November, November 5th.
Yeah, that's in November.
So I think tickets might be up for sale for that, or they are up for sale very soon.
Yeah. It looks like this week, the 24th, speaking of Atlas, the Chicago Brewseum is having a social at Atlas. So if you have questions about what the Brewseum is, I have questions about that. I have no idea what it is. You can go to Atlas this week on Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Well, this was supposed to be the Star Wars Museum, right? And they're turning into a
No way.
Beer.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
that's funny.
Lucas ended up not wanting it to do it here, or I forget why, but space they're going to turn into.
Yeah, because he wanted to level. He just wanted to destroy, like, whatever that stadium is out there, McCormick Place. Not McCormick. Yeah. No, the Eric Crown Theater, which is next to McCormick Place.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, man, you got this parking lot, and you got this this Eric Crown Theater. Let's just get rid of that and, you know, put up this. And the Friends of the Lake were like, no way. And they're a nonprofit, you know, for protecting the lake. In Chicago, we got a thing about the lakefront. Like, you can't build shit on lakefront. That's our thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lucas was like, you know what, man? Keep your garage. Keep your parking lot. I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing this. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought this replaces that. That's what I thought, unless something changed. That's why I got to go and ask these questions, I guess.
That's why you
got
to go, man. Yeah. I know Liz Garibay from History and Tab. We did an event with her a few years back. I know she's behind it. And some other folks.
Okay.
So I don't have much on that, so I'm kind of curious myself.
Hmm, interesting. So those are all the events kind of coming up. We always share more on our Facebook page, and we'll probably share a few more there just because we'll be away.
On September 3rd, Hopcat is opening their Chicago location.
Oh, nice.
So that ought to be good. Yeah, and they are they're eyeing like 12 locations.
Jeez, okay.
Yeah, so they've only got like four or five. I think this is like the fifth location starting Grand Rapids.
I've never been to the original Hopcat.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm missing.
Yeah, they were voted number three best beer bar in the world one year by like Rate Beer or Beer Advocate or one of those guys.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're picking up on the monster craft beer chain. So like there was one in Louisville, right? When I went to all those distilleries, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the route. You set up shop in Louisville, Kentucky, and then you drive an hour to the distilleries. That way you can come back and do your nightlife thing in a proper city, right?
Oh, makes sense.
Oh, so but Hopcat's there. And they had like 180 whiskeys. They got 162 taps, man.
Jeez.
20 of them are dedicated to local. So this is one of those, you know, like Yard House is like that. Mm-hmm. You know, Howls and Hood is part of a group that's like that. And you're starting to see that, right? So this is their version of that. You know, hey, let's get out here and just have 160. They got 162 beers, man.
That's a lot of beer.
I'm like, you repeating? He's like, no. We got 80 in the front, 80 in the back, man. I was like, oh, my God.
It's like, Nick, come on. Repeat.
What do you mean, repeat? How dare you?
All right, so September 3rd, that's opening up.
Yeah, right. So that's right in Lincoln Park.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Anything else then before we get in some beer news, before we wrap up?
No.
Man, no, what happened to the events this week?
Yeah, I don't know. Arcade's got their second anniversary coming up. That was quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's September 14th, so good for those guys.
They got their new space, so I think they're in there finally. It's on Western.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They've moved out of Ale Syndicate. And spread their wings.
Yeah, and to celebrate, they are going to have a Street Fighter V tournament.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I wonder if Lupe Fiasco will be there. He's like all into the Street Fighter game right now.
Yeah, and he's a local guy. So.
All right. Anyway, back to the beer.
Back to the beer.
So in beer news, there's been a few things that popped up, some stuff we learned a little bit about last week on the episode that we had to cut.
Yeah, for sure. So Slapshot, which was a brewery that that did have its own space in like the little village area, like, you know, like 31st in Harlem, right?
Okay.
And Microphone Brewing was actually, you know, was a resident at Slapshot at one point. You know, Microphone Brewing, they moved on to Niles. Rude Hippo, they also moved out. And then Slapshot shut it down and then moved in with Burnt City,
mm-hmm.
right? And Slapshot announced last week that they're done for good.
Right.
Yeah.
He may be the founder, owner. He may be moving into something else, but just shutting down Slapshot wasn't working.
Yeah, it wasn't working out. So that's unfortunate. I've tried a few of their beers. They had this hockey theme that was really cool. But it looks like they are no more.
Mm-hmm. So they kind of came up with the Spiteful 18th Street, like that. A crew of small brewer and little after pipe works there, but they were all like kind of friends, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it looks like, and there were two brothers. One of the brothers moved to Florida, so I left the other brother in control of everything. And then I think, you know, running a business, you know, in beer is, you know, it's pretty intense. I mean, you know, it's labor intensive, you know, you're sourcing all these ingredients, you know, you got all these contracts, you know, it's not, I mean, we see one aspect of it because we love these beers and we dig the guys that make them.
Yeah.
But actually running it is pretty tough, man. You know, especially in Chicago, this is the most competitive market in the country for beer. So.
Yeah, I think there was a story I saw getting shared around, like somebody shared like the dirty secrets of the beer industry and how
I did see that.
It's not all friends and like you're not making very much money. You're doing it because you either like the scene, you like the people, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. You hear the theme a lot about how guys, you know, stepped away from their 9-to-5s, you know, to be, you know, whether they were architects or IT professionals. Yeah, to get into this as a lifestyle more than anything.
That's right.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's that. Yeah. Salamoth announced a new vice president.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Eric Hobbs.
Yeah, E. Hobbs, man, who's a co-founder of Penrose. Mm-hmm. So... There's that.
Right. So it makes sense because Salmoth with their cans getting more into the packaged goods and sales, and that's what Eric Hobbs role always was. That's what he's good at.
Yeah, he's always been hands-on. He's always been really good at sales, whether Goose Island or Penrose. Now he's going to take his act over to Salomo. So,
but he's a vice president there, right? Yeah. So that's a pretty important, it's not just like director of sales. Or
right. He's like, he's got some serious stake over there.
But yeah, it's nice to see, you know, these people that leave these other breweries finding a home at like another good place, not just like
it seems like you end up being more of a free agent than you are just like someone who's like, you know, I'm done with this role and I don't know what's next. You're like, people are looking to like snap you up if you did something cool at a brewery, it seems
And he lives in Geneva, Batavia area, so
yeah,
makes sense to go to a suburb brewery too.
Yeah, right. So good for him, man.
Mm-hmm. And then speaking of people changing hands.
Yeah.
We got Justin Maynard.
Yeah, Justin Maynard, man. The former director of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild.
Right, for about 3-4 years?
Yeah, he took over for, I think they kind of created that role for him, right? Because Pete Crowley was always the president.
Right, so he kind of stepped aside and Justin Maynard came in to kind of...
Yeah, Justin Maynard came in to kind of be more on hands-on in charge of like day-to-day operations, right? Mm-hmm. He ran that for about 4 years. So he's done with that role, and now he's moved on to Beta Brau. So Beta Brau's in the South Loop. They needed a director of marketing and events.
Okay.
So Justin's going to be in charge of that, and I think it's a fluid role where he might, you know, slide into other activities as well. So.
Well, yeah, he was such a important figure in the beer scene and in the guild, and he was kind of had his hands in everything, so it makes sense that he'd probably want to do more than just like
And that's a good pickup for them, because he's the kind of guy that everyone knows, and he has a history of like just being really solid at, you know, event creation, event promotions, and, you know, and getting asses into venues,
right
that's his sweet spot.
And
so
I think that's what Beta Brau needs.
Man, they got like 24,000 square feet down there, and right in South Loop, like right off 25th and Wabash. So that's a big score for them, man. And then they got a really cool space, and now people are gonna know about it because everyone knows Justin. So
very cool.
That'll be cool.
Looking forward to seeing what he does and the continued growth of Beta Brau.
Yeah.
Nice. Anything else newsworthy popping up?
Yeah, stop by Lagunitas, just like I always do. I'm there every Saturday. But they have a really cool can exhibit. So if you go there, they've got like this wall right before you walk into the brew house. They got this wall of like 660 cans. It looks really cool. Everything from like, you know, Schlitz Malt Liquor to like, you know, Champagne Velvet. Like cans of beer from like the last 60 years of American and import beers. And it's really impressive. You know, if you've ever been to Maria's, if you go in the bathroom, it's similar to that, how a wall in Maria's is like that. But they took that and put it on steroids. And I'm like, well, how'd you get this stuff? He's like, we always had it. So we just went in the garage and like wiped all these cans off individually and put them on display in glass above all the walkways.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah,
so it's actually very impressive. That's why you should go check it out if you haven't been down there in a while.
No, I haven't. Okay, nice.
Yeah. And then finally in news, Aleman is joining Lewis Glunz as a distributor. So I bring up Aleman because we're talking about this this generation of brewers that came up through the underground homebrew circuit. And, you know, Aleman, you know, we had this documentary a few years back where, you know, the winner of the homebrew contest got to make a beer with Stone and Two Brothers.
Was this, you know, the Dayman?
Yeah, the Dayman. So Aleman won that contest, right? So they went from being, you know, managers of bars and homebrewers to a production brewery. They've done two beers with Stone. They've done a beer with Beguile. And now they've got a distribution deal with Glunz.
Okay. So I do not – I know that Stone beer. I do not know much about Aleman. Like, I don't think I've seen their beers or had anything besides that collaboration beer.
Yeah, the Dayman, which was a coffee IPA, that won. Yeah, so they're all based out of Avondale. So, yeah, we're going to see their beers more around town. It was 2012. Wow, Iron Brew was the name of the contest.
Right, yeah.
And that was 2012. There's a really cool video of that. We'll put it up on, like, a Throwback Thursday move so you can see it. Yeah.
Nice, so. Okay. That's cool to see that they're still going and, you know, we'll see more of them because, I've seen nothing of them.
Because I'd like to see more because I've seen nothing. Yeah,
so anything is more than I've seen.
Yeah, so that brings Glunz's total of local craft breweries to 11.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're trying to they're trying.
Right, they're trying to get back into the game a little bit.
Yeah, because their sweet spot is really like imports.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, that's it for news.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this week's episode. Like I said, we're going to be gone for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Back up. I want to say it's like September 9th.
Yeah.
Just because there's Labor Day and yeah.
Yeah, the 30th and then the 6th.
The 6th. That'll be when we're back. We're back September 6th. This episode goes up September 7th. So yeah, be a little wild. So sorry for all our listeners and fans out there. We're not leaving you.
No.
But you can follow us on all sorts of social media. Nick, where can people get in touch with you?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Our website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. And like I said, the Facebook page, that's probably the best place. You'll see photos of events we're at, things we're drinking, and we'll share events there too that we don't mention here, or maybe they're happening tomorrow and we just came across them.
Yeah.
That'll do it. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Right on. Cheers.